Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel. We'll begin by the Mishnah, about already a quarter of the way down. We're learning today, Lili Nishmas Mildred Rubinovitz, Tzima Michla Bas Reb Hillel Halevi, and also Lili Nishmas Arthur Jacobs, Asher Ben Yitzhak Halevi, Marilyn Platt's father. All the Neshams we learn for should have an Aliyah. So we begin at the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us again, continuing our discussion about how much of an activity you need to do, what's considered the minimum amount that you'd be chayav achatas for. So the Mishnah begins, HaChoresh Koshu. If anybody does any sort of plowing, even a little bit, as we'll see from the Gemara, enough to put in one seed, so therefore that is considered a significant amount. If you do this by accident, you're going to be chayav for a chatas. Likewise, HaMenakesh. If a person goes in weeds, we'll see the next series of Malachos that we're talking about here are all done to improve the tree. When you go and weed an area, so you're removing some of the growths, and the surrounding growths therefore will be improved because they have to get more nourishment from the soil. So Menakesh is improving really all of the other seeds around it. So this is actually a tolda of Zoreya, of planting, because you're improving all the others by doing this weeding. Likewise, Vamakarsem, Rashi explains, you cut off the dried up branches from a tree in order to improve the rest of the tree. So that's also a tolda of Zoreya, of planting. Rashi tells us that this is Zardin Lachin, Zardin elsewhere, Rashi down on the daf, Rashi tells us are a type of reed, bin kodim heim, and he says, but Odon Rachim, when they're very soft, Zardin osam l'mayach l'odim, they're used for food for a person. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But in any event, these grow each year, chadoshim shoshonazu, umfamim shein merubin. Sometimes there's just so many of these growths, umachishin or ilan, they actually make the tree weaker by having too much, umisyavshin, and they have a drying up, and they weaken the tree. And therefore, b'kotzesomim men, and therefore you cut them off. So you're, again, pruning here in a way that will make the rest of the tree better. So all of these are toldos of planting. And if you do any of these in any amount, koshu, either menakesh, makarsem, or mezaret, even a small amount, chayit, because that's improving the tree. Likewise, hamalakit eitzim. Now Rashi seems to understand this over here, not in all Rashi's here, but elsewhere, that it means that you're actually cutting off branches from the tree. Again, this is a form of pruning the tree. So hamalakit eitzim. If you're doing it in Lasakin, if your intention is to improve the tree, as Rashi says, Eso Ilan, or Esakarka, or the surrounding ground, by having more nutrition now in the ground because you're cutting off some of the branches, and the Kotzeso Minhamachuba, Rashi says you're cutting it off from the attached tree. So therefore, if you're doing this to improve the tree, Kolshein, any amount. This is, again, the same exact thing that we just said. If you're going to improve the tree, that's like a told of Zoreya, and you'd be Chayiv. If you're doing it in Lehesik, if you're doing it, however, to use it for firewood, not that you're planning on pruning the tree, although it does it, but that's not your intention, so you're just cutting off some of the wood here for firewood, so then, we've already learned previously, the amount of firewood that's considered significant for you to cut it off is kedei lavash beitzakala. The amount that it would take to go cook a beitzakala, which we said was a chicken's egg, it's not the whole egg that you have to cook, because by shiurim we said it's a grogeris, a dried fig. So, if you cut off enough wood that you could go cook a grogeris' worth of a beit sakala, so then you would be chayav. That's a significant amount. Likewise, hamalakit asovim, if a person is going and gathering grass, and again, the situation is im lasakin, if you're doing it to improve the rest of the soil around you, it's like weeding, so then koshu, any amount, because that's a told of zoreya. Im lebehema, however, if you're doing it to give to your animal food, that's why you're picking the grass, so then we have the rule, Kimelo pi hagdi. We learned this previously, that for animal fodder, the significant amount is even for the small animal, for a gdi, a little goat, the amount that you could put in its mouth is considered a significant amount. Gemara starts off and says, Lamai chose, that which we said, choresh kolshu, what good is a little hole? So Gemara says, chose levezra de kra, or others have the gears on the side, it says in the orach, le bura de kra, which means lugmo shel delas. In other words, it's enough to go and plant over here one pumpkin seed, a gourd of some sort. That's the simple way to understand this. As Rashi says, Lizro b'socha nima shel delas, to put in one gourd over here. I previously said Rashi brings down. We learned previously. Even though you normally have to take out two pumpkin seeds to be considered a significant act of carrying, because one person won't bother, just take out one seed. So how come over here one seed is considered significant? So where it says there's a difference between hotzah, which nobody would do unless they had at least two, as opposed to planting, and each one is considered a separate planting by itself. When he does this over here. Even though you're going to go and maybe not just open up one hole to put in one seed, but each hole is a separate action, so therefore you're making this hole, that's considered significant. And therefore, this is a significant act, even a plowing for a mashu, kolshu. And we see in the Mishkan, they had a similar idea. The Kavasi Gabi Mishkan, the Mishkan, Shekin Roy Lekelach Echot Shel Samonim, when they would have the various plant dyes that were used to color the curtains in the Beis HaMikdash, so they would go and use these dyes, and they would even have, if one plant needed over here for a dye, so then even one charisha, one plowing, would be considered significant. Okay, the Gemara continues and says, Haminakesh, v'hamakarsem, v'hamazorbe, the various types of pruning that we talked about, Tanur Rabban, the Brisa brings down, Hatolesh Olshin. Olshin is something that we know from Moror. Moror, it's one of the types of Moror, is Olshin, usually called endives. So if you go and pick out some of these olshin, or amazari zrodim, or if you go and prune some of the reeds, so it depends why you're doing this. In lachila, if it's for the purpose of eating it for a human being, so then the shear, as we've always said, is gigro raris, a dried fig. That's the shear for all foods that's considered significant. If you're doing it to feed your animal, in lebehema, so then kimlo pi hagdi. Then the amount is a smaller amount, the amount of the can fit into the gadi's mouth. In lehesek, if you're doing it for firewood, so then kidei levasho beitzakala, the amount that would be necessary to go cook a grogeris is worth of a beitzakala, the chicken's egg. If you're doing it in liafos esakarka, if you're doing it, however, to prune, to weed the ground, to get rid of the unnecessary growths over here, so the remaining growths will grow better, koshke, than any amount, as we said, that's what we talked about before. It's a tolda of zriya. Where it says, wait a second, as soon as you pluck it, as soon as you take it for eating or for the animal or for firewood, aren't you improving the ground? Won't it result in doing the yifuyakarka in any event? So how come you say that you're nachayev automatically all the time for even a mashu? Kol shehein. So Gemara answers, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, both Rabbi and Yosef give the following answer, ba'agam shonu. We're dealing over here with a swampy area, out in the wild, where you don't really intend to improve anything. As Rashi brings down, when you're dealing with an agam, shein tzorich liyafos, it doesn't need to be made better. It's wild. And therefore, this doesn't apply. Alternatively, Abaye Amar, Abaye is giving different teretz. Abaye says, afilu tem b'besada de lav agam. No, it can even be in a field that you are interested in being miyafah. It's not a swamp that we're talking about. So how come you're not chayiv over here? Ukegon de lo komikavein. Because you have no intention of making it better. It's not something you're interested in. And therefore, you don't have any kavana to make it better. And therefore, unless you're doing it specifically, liyafos is a karka, so then you use the other shiurim for human consumption, animal consumption, or for firewood. Gemara says, wait a second. How can Abaye say this? He himself said, v'ho Abaye, and also v'rova, Darmit Avaye, they both said that even Rabbi Shimon is molded by psik reish v'lo yamus. Molded Rabbi Shimon by psik reish v'lo yamus. How can you tell me over here that you're not chayev? Granted, you don't want to do it. It's a davar shein miskavin, but doesn't Rabbi Shimon, who's the author of the statement, a davar shein miskavin you're not chayiv for, agrees that if it's going to happen automatically, it's a psik reisha. If you cut off the head of the chicken, lo yomos, it won't die. So even though you can't say, I don't care if it dies, I'm not interested in dying, I want the head for my kids to play with, but it's going to die. So it's a psik reisha of lo yomos. So how could Abaye say that you didn't have any kavana for this, but if it's going to occur automatically, so then it should be, in any event, usser. Shmuel says, no, not necessarily. Lo tzricha de ovid be'ara de chavre. You know what happened over here? He was doing it in his friend's yard. And as Rashi says, lo ichpat le'liafos. He doesn't have any care in the world that his friend's yard should get better. In fact, Tosus over here, in Dibra Mas, lo tzricha says, it's specifically talking about a friend, ba'acher sheino ovo. He doesn't like the guy. So therefore, he's doing it absolutely without that intention. Now, according to this, the understanding is that as long as it's a psik reisha, the lo ichpatle, even though it's a psik reisha, it's definitely going to make it better, but you don't care about it, so then this is acceptable. That's Rashi's answer over here. And that's, in fact, Tosus brings down the opinion of the Oruch. And we find this in the Tosus Dibra Basra Lo Tzricha, and we'll read a little bit over here now. He says in the Oruch, the Bipsik Reisha de Lo Nichale, for example, Kagon David Ba'ar de Chavre, he's doing this work in his friend's field, Ukagon Ba'acher She'en Ovo, he doesn't like the guy so much, or Hakotzitz Beharis B'Shas Milo, if somebody cuts off a lesion that would be a Tzaras lesion on the bris mila, on the foreskin, She'en Lo Hanoa, he has absolutely no benefit from doing that, he's doing the mitzvah mila, that's all he's interested in. Mutl Chatchila, according to this idea of psik resha de lo ichpatle, that you don't care about, even though it's psik resha, filu is derabbanon leka. This isn't even an issa derabbanon. It's lichatchila mutter. And therefore, hiter rebi chavis shepkako bepishton lohosira pkak. You can even take off the plug off a bottle of wine, even though when you take it off, it's going to be squeezing out, and the wine is going to drip to the floor. Even though you can't stop from having some of the wine drip out, squeezed out, and it's going to vaday happen, since since you're not getting any benefit from it. Why? Because the wine's swirling on the floor. Mutter. This is the opinion of Rashi, and the opinion over here of the Aruch. However, Tosus says, ve'ein o nira. Tosus doesn't like this. And Tosus goes, the rest of this Tosus goes to reasons why this isn't the case. And Tosus ends up saying that the answer over here, why this is allowed, is because it's talking about in the next Tosus, ba'arad dechavre, pirish, dehavya melocha, shein tzorich legufa. Because you're not benefiting at all from that melocha. It's eino tzorich legufa. Your intention isn't over here to be miyafir. It's something that is totally unneeded. And therefore, that's why you're potter. Not because it's a dover shein miskaven, it's a melacha shein otzricha legufa. And Tosus gives, in the upper Tosus, lo otzricha, he gives other examples of this, ayin sham, and this is a major, major machlokis in the poskim about psik reisha de lo nichale, or psik reisha that lo ichpatle, what is the halachic status of it. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Here we're going to deal with the melacha of writing. And this is going to lead us in tomorrow's shiur into a beautiful agadata about all the letters of the aleph beis. But for now, hakosev shtei osios. If somebody writes two letters on Shabbos by accident, so he's chayav achatas. This is true, beim b'yamino, beim b'smolo, whether he writes with his right hand or he writes with his left hand. The Gemara will have to explain to us, isn't the left hand the shinoi? So we'll get to that in a moment in the Gemara, why this isn't talking here about a person who is a righty, who writes with his left hand. That would not be an issa d'oraisa. In fact, that's what people recommend to do sometimes. Somebody's in a hospital, and the doctors are working in the hospital, and they have to write something, so you should do it with a shinoi. That knocks it down from the d'oraisa to a d'rabbanan. So here it's telling us that whether you write with your right hand or your left hand, it's talking about a person who's sholei pishtei yadav. He's actually able to write equally with both his hands, or we'll see if other terutzim as well, you'd be chayv achatos. And this is true, bein mishem echod, bein mishtei shemos. This is true, Rashi says, whether it's shem echod, shteim alfin, you write two olives, or mishtei shemos, or if you write aleph and a beis. It still is considered writing, whether it's the same letter that you wrote twice or two different letters. Or, he says, bein mishtei samonios. Now, the girsa that we have is samonios. Rashi explains, achas b'diyo, the achas b'sikra. You write it with two different types of ink. Let's say, for example, one is with diyo, regular ink, and other is sikra, a certain type of reddish ink. So, these two are going to be the same iser, even though it's two different materials that you wrote it with. The girsa of the Bach, however, is samamonios. And if you look in the Pirush HaMishnayos to the Rambam, see, he has a very interesting idea. He says that the word samamonios is the plural of simen. And therefore, he says, if you make two signs, so for example, if you write the letter aleph, and then you write an apostrophe over it, which is shorthand for echad. So he says, that's what it means over here, whether with one or with two. It means whether you're doing it with a letter, or you're doing it with a letter and an apostrophe. The issa would be there as well. And then the Mishnah continues, b'chol loshon, if you write it in any language, Rashi says, shekol ksavim v'gufon shekol uma v'uma. So you write it with the Hebrew letters, the English letters, the letters of the Persian alphabet, whatever letters you write it with, two letters, chayiv. You're going to be chayiv v'chatos if you did this accidentally on Shabbos. Now, Omar Rav Yossi, now this sounds like it's a different statement. The Gemara is going to explain that Rav Yossi actually was the author of the first part of the Mishnah as well. In any event, Omar Rav Yossi says, Lo chivu shtei osios ele mishum roshim. He says the isser of two osios is based upon, in the Mikdash, when they would have the crushim, and they would have the crushim in certain places. So if they were more towards the area where the Holy of Holies was, so you can't move those kroshim to a less holy place, a place further away from the Holy of Holies, and vice versa. So therefore, they would mark the kroshim and hang boards on them and say, this is board number one, this is board number two. But they didn't necessarily do that. They made various types of markings. So therefore, Rav Yossi says, it's not only two osios, but it's even two rishimos over here. Even two marks would be considered significant over here that you would be chayev a chatas for. Shekach kotzim akar shem mishkan. As the Mishnah says, they would write these on the boards, they'd make these marks on the boards, leida ezo ben zugo, to know which one is next to which one, so they shouldn't be malin moridin bekodesh. When they're in a higher kedusha place, they shouldn't be moved next time to a lower kedusha place. On review, the review comes and says, motzinu shem kotzim mishem godol. We find that you could be over by writing a short name from a long name. What does he mean by this? If you wrote Shem, Shin, Mem, Mishimon, or Umishmuel, you would be Chayev for writing the Shin and the Mem. Now, obviously, this is going to be a different letter. The word Shem, if you were to finish it off as the word Shem, has a Mem Sophis at the end. And if you're writing it Shin, Mem, with a Mem, a regular Mem, so then is that really a word? And the world will have a whole discussion about this. So, for now, Rav Yehuda says that if you write a Shin and a Mem, even though you didn't write the full word Shimon or Shmuel, you'd be Chayv Chatas. Or likewise, if you wrote the Nun and the Ches, Noach, from the word Nochar, Minochar, so then you'd be Chayv. Or if you wrote Don, Dalet Nun, from the word Midoniel, you'd be Chayv. Or if you wrote God, Gimel Dalet, from the word Gadiel, Migadiel, you would be Chayv. That's the opinion of Yehuda. Again, all this will be discussed more in the Gemara. The Gemara starts off and says, Bishlomo ayomin lichayev. I understand if you write with your right hand, you're chayev, because bishom, the derek kisina bakach. That's the normal way to write. So, of course, you're going to be chayev. That's the normal action. Elob, a small am I. Why, if a person who's a righty writes with his left hand, is it going to be chayev? Ho ein derek kisina bakach. I'm a righty. I can't write well with my left hand. If I write something with my left hand, it's clumsy. It's a shinoi. And therefore, that's not the issa daraisa. So, how come it says in the Mishnah, chayev, you write with your right hand or with your left hand? So Rav Yemi says, oh, Bita Yachana, we're talking about a lefty. We're talking about somebody who's a lefty. So he's chayv when he writes with his left hand. Where it says, but that's not what it said. But they have a small didei, kiyom and dukuliyama. Whenever we have this about lefties, so we say their left hand is everybody else's right hand. So whatever the din is for the right hand, for them, it's the din for the left hand. So a lefty, if he writes with his right hand, that's a weaker hand for him. That's a sheen of him. He wouldn't be chayv. So what are you talking about over here that you're chayv if you write with your right hand? All with your left hand. It's one person's going to chayv only with the right hand, and one person's going to chayv only with the left hand. So I don't understand the Gemara says. Tabi small didei kiyomin duchuliyama. Vasmol lichayev ayomin lo lichayev. You wouldn't be chayv for writing with the right hand. So how does the Mishnah tell us you chayv with both your right and your left hand? So Gemara says you're right. Elom Abaye. Abaye says bisholei pishtei yodav. We're talking about an ambidextrous person. He can write with his right hand. He can write with his left hand. Lav dafka. That he writes absolutely equally well with both. But for him, it's not a shino. He sometimes writes with his right hand. He sometimes writes with his left hand. Right? You have baseball players. They can bat righty if they're going against the lefty pitcher, and they'll bat lefty if they're going against the righty pitcher. Nope. They usually have a side that they're better at. The people that are, quote, they hit both lefty and righty, so they normally hit better with their natural side more than with the other side. But in any event, they can do it with both. Therefore, it's not a shinoi. That's what Abaye says. Rav Yaakov, now the girsa that we have is Berei Devas Yaakov. On the side, it says the girsa should really be Bera Devas Yaakov. So Rav Yaakov, who was the grandson through the daughter of his Zaydi Yaakov, so he said the following. So obviously, why don't we say who Rav Yaakov's father was? So Rashi elsewhere, in the Gemara in Ervin, tells us that his father wasn't such a high character person. His father was a mumar, and therefore, in this situation, we don't mention his father's name, and we allude to his yichus through his mother and through his grandfather, his maternal grandfather. This has a lach l'maisa ramification brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Rachmon al-Islan, if somebody's father's a mumar and you want to give him an aliyah, you want to give the son the aliyah. The son's a good guy, and the father was Nebuch a mumar, and the father's a terrible person. So how do you call up the son? So we say that you should call up the son through his grandfather. You don't want to mention the father's name. That's assuming people know who the father is. So therefore, you'd call up Yaakov ben Avraham, who's the grandfather, rather than saying his father Esav, who is a Rasha. Fine. Now, if you don't know who the father is, let's say it's an Asufi or a Tztuki, so then the two different menhagim, either you call him up Ben Avraham, where everybody's Ben Avraham, or we say you call him up by the mother's father in that situation. We know who the mother is, so you call up by the maternal grandfather. In any event, that's Rav Yaakov. It should be Berah, the son of the daughter of his Zaydi Yaakov. So what did he say? He said, Hamani, who's the author of our Mishnah? The author of our Mishnah is Rav Yosihi. Reb Yossi is the author of our Mishnah. You know why you're chayiv writing your left hand? Because anybody can make a mark with their left hand. If I have to make a mark with my left hand, I can't write letters well with my left hand, but I can make a mark with my left hand perfectly fine. And therefore, the author of the Mishnah is Reb Yossi, who says if you make a mark with your right hand or your left hand, Reb Yossi, the Yomah, Lochivu Shteyosios El Mishum Roshem. The whole idea that you chayiv is because in the Krushim, they made those marks on the Krushim. So therefore, any mark is what makes you chayev. You make two marks, you chayev. And therefore, I can make a mark equally well with my left hand, even though I'm a righty. A lefty can make a mark equally well with his right hand, even though he's a lefty. And therefore, that's why you chayev with your right hand or with your left hand. More questions this, however, it says, you're right, okay, that's a very nice tarot, it's following me to save Rav Yossi, but then we said, Omer Rav Yossi. So that implies that the Tanakama is not Rav Yossi. Therefore, Reisha Lav Rav Yossi. So Gemara says, no, Kula Rav Yossi. Now, this is a style that the Gemara sometimes says the Mishnah uses, and that is that the entire statement is made in the name of Rav Yossi. We don't always say it right up front. Sometimes we'll say it afterwards. Ah, fine. Arm of Yehuda. Now we have the sheet of Yehuda who said that the Shem Mishmuel is a perfectly valid writing, and therefore, Rachman Tzan, somebody did this on Shabbos, he would be Chayev Echatos. Gemara says, now, Ella, Rabbi Yehuda, Shtei Yosios, Vehein Shtei Shemos, Huda Mechayev. It seems that, based upon this, that you have to have two different letters. He wrote a Shin, and he wrote a Mem. So, that implies, Shtei Yosios, Vehein Shem Echot, Lo Mechayev. That would imply, however, that if you wrote two letters, and they are the same letter, Lo Mechayev. For Rashi says, for example, Kagon, Shin, Shin. The word Sheish, from the word Sheishach, which is a name in Yirmiyo, or the word teis, tough, soft, Rashi says, from titenu, from the word to give, or you write choch, which means a bracelet, choch v'nezem, from the word chachim, from Yecheskel. So you have all these words that have the same letter. It implies the Rav Yehuda would say, in fact, that you're not chayiv. Now, that's from the Mishnah. The implication from the Mishnah is that's Rav Yehuda's opinion. It has to be two different letters. But now we're going to bring a braisa that seems to disagree and shows Beferish, the Rav Yehuda says, even the same letter Yechayev. And that will be the stira. It'll take us a while to get to the end of the question, but that's what we're going to do right now. So again, from the Mishnah, it tells us the Rav Yehuda says, if you write Shin and Mem, implying two different letters, Yechayev. But if you write the same letter, you would not be Chayev. But Vahatanya, we have a long braisa now that tells us otherwise. And it quotes the pasuk which we've had previously. Nefesh ki secha to bishkoga, mikol mitzvah Hashem asher lo siyosena, v'asa me'achas me'heina. So what does this mean? Vahatanya v'asa, now it really is achas, it should be me'achas, but we're only darshting right now the achas, that's why he doesn't mention the me'achas. So v'asa achas, which implies, yachol, I might have thought, ad shichtov kol hashem. Achas means you have to write the entire word. Or, ad shiero kol habeged, or until you weave the entire garment, or ad shiase kol hanapa, or when you're weaving, you have to weave the entire sieve over here, this structure, this wicker-like structure, you have to do the entire thing. That's why the pasuk says, Talmud Lomar, mei achas, to tell me that you don't have to do the whole thing, you have to even do mei, mem is always a mia, mei from the whole thing, you don't have to do the whole thing. Nudimor says, if you only wrote mei achas, which is what it says, I mei achas, you know what I would have said, yochol, afil lo kosav ela osachas, even one letter would be enough. Or lo arag eluchot echad, I only weaved one thread. Or lo asa ela bayis echad enough, I only did one part of the weaving here of the napa. Rashi explains that they would have all the vertical threads over here, the shesi threads, and then you would only do one thread horizontally at the bottom and one thread at the top. That would be the normal process, but here you only did part of that. You only did one horizontal thread. So I might have thought that in that situation, me'achas applies here as well. We turn to the Omid Beis, Talmud Lomar, that's why it said achas. The word achas, me'achas, is two drushes over here. Okay, it's not how do you fulfill both? So Gemara says, the Tanakhama says, the only achayev, if you wrote the little word, for example, of the big word. For example, Shem, Shin Mem, Mishimon, Umishmuel, or Noach, Nun Ches, Minochar, or Don, Dun, Dalid, Nun, Midaniel, or God, Gimul, Dalid, Migadiel. Now, that's exactly like our opinion of Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah, or so we thought. Now, the Gemara tells us, the Braisa continues and tells us Rav Yehuda's opinion. So this Tanakhama that we just said, which sounds like it's exactly Rav Yehuda from a Mishnah, is not Rav Yehuda, because along comes in the Braisa of Yehuda Omer, no. He says, even if you wrote the same letter twice, you'd be chayev. So Rav Yehuda in the Braisa clearly says, writing Kegon shen shin sheish, or taste tov sof, or roar resh resh, gag gimel gimel, chach ches ches. All of these are real words. Sheish means six, taste means to give, roar means to flow, gag is a roof, and chach is a bracelet. So all of these words, if you wrote a real word, even if it's the same letter twice, the Brisa's opinion of Rav Yehuda says Yechayiv. So this is ultimately the question. We're going to finish the Brisa, but here's the question. Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah says, what sounds like the Tanakhama of this Brisa is, that only if you write two different letters. And Rav Yehuda himself in the Brisa says, no, even the same letter, as long as it's a word, you'd be Chayiv for. The Brisa continues. Amar Rav Yossi, here we have the opinion of Rav Yossi, V'chi mishum kosev u'chayiv. Are you Chayiv over here for kosev? V'lo eino Chayiv, el mishum roshem. He says, again, you don't have to write a letter, even a mark. Shekein roshem al-kar she'a mishkan. Lay the Ezohi ben Zugo. They would know, they would mark on the Mishkan to know that this board goes next to that board. Lefikach, Sarat Srita Achas Ashnei Storm, if you make a single scratch on two different boards, or Oshnei Sritos, or two scratches, Al Neser Echot, on the same board, Chayev, that's enough to make you Chayev. You don't even have to write a letter. Rav Yossi in the Brisa is exactly like Rav Yossi in the Mishnah. Another opinion in the Brisa, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Darshin in the pasuk again, we also achas, so he darshins yochol. I might have thought, achichtov is kol Hashem. You have to write the entire word. Or achiyoro kol abegit, until you have to write the entire begit. Weave the entire begit. Oh, she asks kol anapo, until you weave the entire sieve over here. Tamaloma meachas. Again, the same drasha, Rabbi Shimon sounds an awful lot like the Tanakama, and that's going to be the Gemara's question eventually. Tamaloma meachas. That's why it tells us mei, miyot of achas. So when it says, Ime achas, I would have thought, Yochal, afilu lo kosav, ela os achas, afilu lo ora gelichut echad, afilu lo osa, ela bayis echa bin apa. I would have said, whether you even only write one letter, or do one thread of weaving, or one thread of making the napa, one horizontal thread, that would make you chayav, tamalom achas. No, we have both achas and meachas. Okay, so how you do both? Enu chayav ashiasa. Now, before the Tanakhama said, until you make a shame, mishimun mishmol. Here it says a little bit differently, until you do something that is considered significant because it lasts. So this sounds still an awful lot like the Tanakhama, and we're going to say, how is this any different than the Tanakhama? And we'll eventually resolve that. But this is the opinion of Rav Shimon. Finally, we have one last drasha, Rav Yossi Omer. Now here we have another drasha, but we already had Rav Yossi giving his understanding of what is considered by Ksiva, but here he has another drasha. This is a famous drasha we had previously, teaching us about the Av Melachos and the Toldos, whether you have one or 39, depends on the situation. So the Pasuk entirely says, V'yosa Achas, and it says, Osa Heina, it says, Me Achas, Me Heina. So, Pa'amim Shechayev Achas Okulan, sometimes you have one time for doing all 39 Melachos, Pa'amim Shechayev Okulachas V'achas, and sometimes you're going to be Chayev 39 Melachos, on one Shabbos. Now, that's where the end of the Brisa is here now. We've already explained this statement of Rav Yossi previously, and we'll explain it again towards the end of today's shir. In any event, that concludes the Brisa. Now we get back to our original question. Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah certainly seem to say it's Shin Mem, Shem Mishimon Mishmuel, that makes you Chayiv. But Rav Yehuda in the Brisa, Befeirish, says no, even two of the same letters. So Gemara says, Tani Mia. Now that we finished the Brisa, go take a look. Rav Yehuda Omer, he says over here, Afilu lo kosav el shtei osios v'hein shem echad chayiv. The Brisa, Rav Yehuda says, you're going to be chayiv if you write shin shin, tav tav, resh resh, gimu gimu, ches ches. And the Mishnah doesn't say that. So it's a contradiction over here between Rav Yehuda and the Brisa and Rav Yehuda and the Mishnah. Shmuel says, Lokachi, no problem. Two different opinions. Hodi day. One is his own opinion, that's the Mishnah, and here in the Brisa, hold the Rabbe. This is his Rabbi's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda was quoting his Rabbi, the Brisa. Where do we see that? The Tanya. It says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabban Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda said, name is Rabbi Rabban Gamliel. Afilu lokosav el shtei osios. Heim shem echot chayev. If you write two same letters, as long as they're a word, you're chayev. That's his Rabbi's opinion. That's the Brisa's opinion. Can go on sheish, teis, roar, gag, chok, as we've already said. So the Brisa is Rav Yehuda in the name of Gamliel, Mishum Rav Gamliel. And in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda is his own das, hodi day. So that reconciled the stira in the Brisa. But now, once we brought down the stira from the Brisa to the Mishnah. But now, once we brought down the Brisa, we have to explain some of the other questions and points that I made. So, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, Haino Tanakama. The Tanakama said, like we have Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, that you have to write Shin Mem Mishimon to be Chayev. And then along comes Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says that you're also Chayev for doing that. So how is there any difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon? That's the question. Rabbi Shimon, Haino Tanakama. They're the same opinion. The Gemara says, you know what the answer is? You know what the difference is? Do you have to make a word with the two same letters or not make a word with the two same letters? So when we specifically said over here, if you write words like gag or tase, things like that, sheish, so that two letters makes a word. But if a person were to take the word azercha, which is found in a pasuk in Yeshaya, and aleph aleph he were to write, so v'chitema aleph aleph de azercha ika benayu, that the Tanakama Savar aleph aleph da azercha lo v'chayim, because the word aleph aleph is not a word. That's why the Tanakama of Abraisa says it's not significant. He only said shin mem, shem mishmuel. However, Rabbi Shimon Savar kivan de isay begiltore bi'alma, since you find Giltori, Rashi tells us, are kameos, uksavim shel mechashefos, and you have in the kameos or in the writings of these witches, you have various shemos that aren't words but are used. Rashi says in Latin, this is known as klotros, and regilin sofim lichto behem tevos shel shtei osios, that the scribes would write this all the time. Veino tevos b'mokamachem. They're not words, but they use them over here in these kameos. So therefore, that is why Rabbi Shimon says Yechayev. So the Tanakama says you're not chayev for that. And Rabbi Shimon says, since sometimes it's a word, albeit in these kameos, it's not a real word, but they use it. It's a formula in the kameos. So that is why Rabbi Shimon is mechayev you. Oh, that sounds like a good teretz. But the only problem is, the Gemara says, l'meimro de Rabbi Shimon l'chumra. Rabbi Shimon is the more machmir position over here. But in general, Rabbi Shimon is the more meikel position. But Tanya, hakodeach koshu chayev, the Braisa tells us, that if you do any sort of drilling, you are going to be chayev. If you do any sort of megarer koshu, megarer is scraping. Rashi explains that they would take over here some sharp object and scrape klunsos, these poles, or klofim, klafs, to have a toldo de memachik. And this is a toldo of erasing or wiping away. So therefore, that's why over here, the Tanakhama says you're chayev even for koshu. Or hama'abe koshu, if you do any amount of tanning, you're chayev. Hatzor bichli tzura kosho. If you make any sort of a design in some sort of utensil, you're going to be chayev. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. The more machbi position, it's a kosho. And along comes Rabbi Shimon, the more meikel position. Rabbi Shimon Omer, achich dacheskulo. You have to do the entire hole. Achich goreskulo. You have to do the entire scraping over here of the parchment or of the pole. Achich abidiskulo. You have to do the entire tanning process. Achich atzkulo. Or you have to do the entire design that you're mitzayer over here. So, we see that Rabbi Shimon is the more maker one. So it doesn't make sense that he would be the more machbir position over here. He would say, Aleph Aleph is an Isser Chattas, and the Tanakhama says no. So therefore, the Gemara says, you're right. Ela Rabbi Shimon, ha'osa lashmina. Look at the language carefully in the Brisa. It wasn't exactly the same language as the Tanakhama. He said, Achichtov es Hashem Kulo. Rabbi Shimon is saying that you have to write the entire name. That's what he said. Melocha kishekayotzi bo miskayemes. It's talking about a melocha that is going to be a permanent melocha. Where, again, also isn't happy with this. Umi matis amis hochi, did he say that? V'tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, we have Rabbi Shimon saying, v'osa achas, which means, yocholat shichtov es Hashem kulo, tamaloma me'achas, that you don't have to write the entire thing. So that can't be the answer that you have to write the entire shame. That's not Rabbi Shimon's shita. So we're stuck again. Rabbi Shimon seems to be the Tanakhama. So Gemara says, no, tritzvei mahochi, there still is a good teretz over here. This is to teach us, I might have thought, according to Rabbi Shimon, yocholat shichtov es ha-pasuk kulo, I might have thought that you have to write the entire pasuk to be chayev. Tam lomer meyachas tells me, no, I have to write the entire word, something that's makayim, something that's lasting, is an entire word. I have to write the full word. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon in the Braisa is not saying that if you write shin and mem, you'd be chayev. He says you have to write the whole word shimon. You don't have to write the whole pasuk, but you have to write the whole word. Now Rabbi Shimon is a more lenient opinion and a different opinion than the Tanakhama. The Braisa continues, and we said, Rabbi Yossi Omer, we gave the opinion of Yossi, he said, Osa achas, Yossi heina, the famous drasha, achas, heina, meheina. So he teaches us, Pamim shechayev achas al kulam, sometimes you're going to be chayev one time for all 39 melachos, or Pamim shechayev al kol achas yachas, sometimes you're going to be chayev 39 chatos on one Shabbos. So I'm Rabbi Yossi Ruchinin, Rabbi Yossi Ruchinin tells us, my time with Rabbi Yossi, where did he get this from? Again, because of the double wording. It didn't say achas, it said meachas. It didn't say heina, it said meheina. So there's four drushas over here that we're going to learn out. Achas shi heina, we learn out achas to heina, veheina shi achas, and likewise heina to achas. What does this mean? Achas Shimon. So the word achas would tell me if I wrote the word Shimon, I'd be chayev. Meachas comes to say even part of Shimon, the shin mem, shame me Shimon. Heina, that tells me the avos, yichayev for the avos malachos. Mehena tells me chayev for the toldos. And now when it says achashi hena, what does that mean? Zodon Shabbos. If a person knows that it's Shabbos, v'shigas melachos, but he doesn't realize there are all these melachos that he did wrong, so in this situation, he's going to be chayev a separate chatas for every one of the melachos that he did. If he did 39, he's going to be chayev 39 melachos, 39 chatos. Hey, no shiachas, that tells me sometimes v'shigas Shabbos. He didn't know it was Shabbos. Oh, he knows you have to do every one of these melachos. Meaning, he knows you're not allowed to do these melachos on Shabbos. He just didn't know it was Shabbos. So then, the only shiga he had was Shabbos. Then you only bring one chatas, even though he did 39 different melachos, because his shiga was on Shabbos, not on the melachos. That's the famous shita of Rav Yossi. We had it previously, and here we have it again. Mark continues, I'm reviewed in our Mishnah review that said, Matzino Shem Kotim Shem Godo. You could write Shem Mem, and that would be a valid isser over here, that you wrote a name, even though it wasn't the full name that you originally were intending to write. Gemara says, how is that comparable? Me dummy. This is what I alluded to when we learned the Mishnah. The mem that you're writing over here in the shin mem of Shimon, you should have been writing a middle mem, a regular mem. And here, mem, the shame, sasum. Here, if you want to make it a word, the word shame, the name, so then it has to be a mem that's an end of mem, right? A mem sophis. Mem de Shimon pasuach. But the mem of Shimon is pasuach. So you didn't write the right mem. How come you're chayav? Amar Chisda is also Meres. This comes to teach us that it doesn't make any difference. Sosum, if it's supposed to be a closed mem, i.e. in the word shame, it's an end of mem, it's a mem sophis, and it was supposed to be sosum, vaso pasuch, and you wrote it with a regular middle of the word mem, kosher, it's perfectly good. That's what Rav Chisda says. That's not true, the Gemara says. Meisvei, the Braisa says, that's not true. The word in the Torah tells us, usav tom. What does that mean? So it's a play on the word ksav tam, shete kesiva tama, that you have to write your tefillin, your mezuzos, and your sifrei Torah perfectly. What does that mean? Shelo yichtov alfin ayin. You shouldn't write an aleph and an ayin to mix them up. Now they're more mixed up in terms of the pronunciations, ayin and alfin. So you have to be careful with the aleph and an ayin because they would pronounce them differently. Bezin, kofin, kofin, bezin. You have to make sure that the bez and the kof, which can be very similar. You know, little kids, when they learn the aleph bez, they often make the mistake between the bez and the kof, or the kof and the bez, because there's only a slight difference in the ksiva. Likewise, gamin. Gamin is the way we say gimel. Tzadin is the way we say tzadi. So they can also look alike. Tzadin and gamin, or the tzadi and the gimel, or gimel and tzadi, they can be mixed up. Dalad ration, dalasin ration, ration dalasin. The dal and the ration are very similar to each other. Hey and chesin, chesin hey, and hey and the ches could be similar. Vav and yudin, the vav and yud, they're just a difference in the size. Yud and vav. So it easily could be made a mistake in them if you're not careful. Zain and nun, and a zain and a nun, or nun and a zain. Nun and zain could easily be mistaken for each other. Tes and peifin, peifin, tesin, the tes and the pei, in the script, in the ksav, in the Torah, they look very similar. Likewise, kefufin, pshutin, pshutin, kefufin. You have certain letters, for example, the osios mansipach. So here we're talking about everything but the mem. So the nun, tzadi, pei, and chav. So in the middle of the words, they're written more in a bent way. At the end of the words, the sophist letters, so they're written more of a straight letter. So all of these, you could easily make mistakes with them if you do the wrong one. Stumim psuchin, a mem sophis versus a regular mem. So the mem sophis is stumim, it's totally enclosed. Psuchin is open when in the middle of the word. And psuchin, stumim, or vice versa, to mix them up. All of these you can't do. You have to have ksav tam, ksav tom. Now, likewise, parsha psucha, if you have a parsha that's supposed to be a psucha, it's supposed to have a space in between one parsha to the other parsha, we only have a pei, lo yasen a stumi. Now we make it a stuma, which means a closed parsha, which doesn't have as much space. Or if you have stuma, lo yasen a psucha, you can't make a closed parsha an open parsha. Likewise, ksava kashira, where you have like oz yoshi, it's supposed to be written a certain way, what's called, Rashi says, bidilugin, ariach levena. This is indirect, not one directly on top of the other, each one partially on top of the other. So that's called the shira. So we're supposed to write it like a shira. If you do it like a regular, so that's not right. If you do it levena agabi levena, which is a standard way that we have the shita in the chumish, so that's not good. So kosavar kishira, osha kosavar shira kiyotzi bo. If you write the shira like the regular, or the regular like the shira, it's no good. Osha kosav shalo b'diyo, or if you write any of the osios without the proper black ink. Or osha kosav es askoros b'zov, or you want to be fancy, write every time the yud kevavki, the askoros is the shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you write it with, you put a little bit of gold into the diyo. So that's not allowed. All of these mistakes that we just read in this brisa, if you made any of them, haray, Elu Yigonezu. You have to go and put in Geniza this Sefer Torah, this mezuzah, this tefillin. They aren't kosher. And bottom line is, we just said that if you make an endomem, where you're supposed to make a regular mem, so then it's not good. So here, you're supposed to make a regular endomem, and instead you made a regular mem, the word shin mem, so it shouldn't be an aksiva. That's what Rav Chisda said. Shmuel says, Rav Chisda would answer, who do you amar ki aitana? Rav Chisda would answer, like this Tana, who disagrees. The Tanya, Rav Yehuda ben Seira Omer, we have in the famous drasha over here with all of the korbanos that we bring on Sukkos, so we learn out the allusion to the nisuch hamayim on Sukkos. This is the drasha of Yehuda ben Seira. He says, Nemar b'sheni, on the second day, in terms of the korbanos, it says v'niskehem. Instead of saying v'niska, it said an extra over here, mem. And bashishi, it says, instead of niska, it says nisocheha, an extra yud. And bashvi, it says kamishpot tom. Instead of saying kamishpot, it said an extra mem. So you have the extra mem from the niskeyem, the extra yud from nisocheha, the extra mem from kamishpot tom. That spells out mem, yud, mem. That spells out maim. Hare mem, yud, mem, maim. Mikan remez l'nisuch maim in haTorah. This is the allusion to nisuch maim, which is a halach l'moshe miSinai, but here's an allusion to it in the Torah. Now, this Tana says, umi de pasuach, the first mem was supposed to be a regular mem, the word mayim, but we took the end mem from niskeyim to make it into the first mem in the word mayim. So the pasuach paso sosum kosher, it was supposed to be open, and we instead took a closed letter. It's good. That's a good drasha. So vice versa, sosum nami. It is supposed to be closed, and instead. Sosum vaso pasuach kosher. If it was supposed to be closed, like the word shame, it's supposed to have an end of mem, but if you made it a regular mem, kosher, it would also be good. And that's what Rav Chisda says is the teretz over here. Morris says, no, me dummy. Those two aren't correct. Pasuach vaso sosum, because if it's pasuach and you made it sosum, that is not necessarily going to be able to be compared to sosum vaso pasuach. Because when you make it pasuach vaso sosum, it was supposed to be a middle mem, and instead you made an end of mem, alui koma alile, you've elevated it, you've made it higher, you made it better, because the Omer Rechista himself said, mem v'samach shebeluchos, these letters, if there was an end mem, so then it's a square letter, a samach is like a circular letter, and they stood in the luchos through a neis, shebeluchos v'neis ha'yomdim, because the luchos could be seen on both sides, so whichever way you're facing the luchos, on all four sides, you saw the luchos. That's a nace. Now, how did a letter like the samach and the mem, which the inside part of it is not attached to anything because it's enclosed, it would have fallen out. Therefore, it must be through nace. And therefore, this end mem is a higher level than a regular mem, which is not enclosed, and therefore the nace wouldn't be needed for a regular mem. So by making it to an end mem, you have a higher level, and therefore going from a regular mem to an end mem is fine. But going the other way around, from a mem sophist to a regular mem, who says that that's going to be allowed? Who says that that's going to be ksiva? Elo sosum, that's all pasuach. Gorui komigwale, you're going down. It was supposed to be sosum, that's a higher level because of the nace, and you're making it a regular mem, so therefore you wouldn't be writing in that situation. The letters mansapach, Tosu says, we don't have them in the order that they're actually found, because the chaf is the first one, because we want to say min sofim. So this is mansapach, min sofim, is to teach us mansapach tsofim amorim, the neviim, they're called the tsofim, so they're the ones that gave us this. So therefore, originally, the only mem that we had was the enclosed end mem, the mem sophis. And the Nevi'im came along and they gave us the mansapach. They gave us this letter, mem, that is an open mem, a middle or beginning letter of the word mem, that is different than the end of mem. But that's a lower level. Gemara says, is really? You think so? Betizbara. Foksiv Eila mitzos, the pasuk tells us that these are the mitzos. In other words, Shein HaNavi Rashay L'Chadish Novi Miata. No Navi can come along and teach us anything new. So how can you tell me that the Nevi'im came along and gave us a mem, the regular mem? It was already there beforehand. Shmuel says, Nu Ela Mihava Hava. You're right, it was there beforehand. You're right. All the letters were there. We just didn't know whether the regular mem or the end mem would be the one that should be written. And the Tzofim, the Nevi'im, came along and told us which ones are the regular mems and which ones are the mem sophis. Or it says, no, still, Vakasi, Elamitzos, the Nevi'im can't do that. How can the Navi go and make this new din? It's not allowed to be Mechadish anything. Or says, Taki, you're right. Ella, you know what it was? The way that we got it on Har Sinai was known at that point in time. Which ones were the regular mems and which ones were the mem sophis? And then we forgot it. El Shechachum, we forgot which was which. And then the Tzofim, the Nevi'im, came along. The Tzofim came along, and they told us what the original din was. They weren't mechadish the din, they reminded us what the din was. With this, we conclude today's share. We learned that today, Lila Nishmas, Mildred Rabinovitz, Tzimma Michla, Bas Reb Hillel Alevi, and for Marilyn Platt's father, Arthur Jacobs, Asher Ben Yitzchak Alevi. All the Nishans we learned for should have an Aliyah. Have a wonderful Shabbos.